Welcome to episode 171 of the Active Photographer Podcast, your behind-the-scenes glimpse into the day-to-day life of a working professional photographer, with me, Giles Babbage. Those of you who regularly follow my antics will know that it's been a hectic time recently, with me dashing around the country for all manner of things. In amongst the photo shoots, writing and networking events, of course, there was the photography show at Birmingham's NEC. In this week's show, I'm bringing you a conversation recorded with one of the Panasonic Lumix team whilst I was there. As you'll hear, we discussed some exciting developments, and I really can't wait to bring further thoughts and updates. So, welcome, one and all, to The Active Photographer, episode 171. Now at this point I would say I'm stood on the Panasonic Lumix stand with Adam Weber, and we're going to be talking about this particular camera. We're actually not. We're sat at a table in a quite empty food hall. It's coming up to the point where it's almost chucking out time today. So you guys are probably going to hear the announcement in a while just to say, right, clear off you lot, but we're going to talk over that and we're just going to carry on. So Adam, let's first start off talking about the specific camera that we're going to talk about, because we had a look at this yesterday when I, you know, first met you.
Yes, we was having a close look at the TZ70. It's a brand new Lumix camera from Panasonic, and TZ actually stands for Travel Zoom. So it's one of our award-winning cameras every single year, and what we want to do is have feedback from yourself and customers and journalists and everyone that use our products and try and incorporate new features and be able to improve it year on year. So one of the things we've actually done from TZ60 is actually drop down the megapixels. We've actually dropped it from 18 down to 12, because what we wanted to do was improve the low light performance. So what we've done is make each pixel now much, much bigger, and that's allowing to us to absorb more light and to be able to give you much, much better low light performance. We've also improved things like the viewfinder, so we've now got a much higher resolution viewfinder. And even just a simple small thing, people were asking for a sensor on the eyepiece. So now when you put your eye up to the viewfinder, it will automatically transfer from one to the other without even having to push any buttons.
And just to kind of set the scene of why I first approached you yesterday, you guys listening know that when I'm out and about, I document what I'm doing. It could be podcasts, it could be a bit of behind-the-scenes video, it could be snaps that get uploaded through Twitter and Facebook and all the rest of it. And my initial question was, what do you guys have in your range that is aimed at someone like me? Now, the first camera that was suggested to me that I looked at was what you call the selfie. Now, if there is a camera that marks the point that we are in the development of social media and recording your adventure, your activities, it's got to be a camera called the selfie.
Yes.
But you said, well, actually, as we were talking, you said, actually, I remember what it was. I said, does this shoot RAW? And you said, no, it's designed to shoot JPEG because it's for quick upload, all the rest of it. And it had the articulated flip-up screen, what have
you.
But you said about the other model.
Absolutely. So TZ70 also has Wi-Fi capability, but has the JPEG and RAW. Also has the Leica lens, so it's going to give you much, much higher performance, much better photography. But the lovely thing about the TZ70 is you have the Wi-Fi application. And it actually can create its own Wi-Fi zones. Even if you're in the Sahara Desert or in the Amazon rainforest, you're going to be able to create a Wi-Fi zone, and it doesn't matter whether it's an Android or an Apple device. It's a free app. It's called a Panasonic Image app, and it will allow you to take full control of the camera. So everything from your aperture, your ISO, your shutter, and your focusing can all be seen live on the screen. And so even though you was looking at, say, selfie mode, even without a flip-out screen, you'll be able to see and make sure that you're composing your photo or your video with the use of your mobile device.
And that was my starting point, was thinking, do you know, I'm kind of a bit bored of having to have arm's length, hoping that I've got the framing as I want. And that's why I was looking at the flip-up screens. And when you said, well, this one does the RAW, but it doesn't have the screen inside, I don't know if it showed on my face, I was like, no, not interested. Well, not interested, but I was like, okay, so, right, why not? But then you said, oh, but it does this. And so my immediate thoughts were, okay, so you mentioned the low light capabilities, and I'm thinking, okay, so I'm sat in a tent. Mm-hmm. I want to get a shot of myself to share with my followers of me, you know, sort of sat in my sleeping bag, sheltering from the storm, whatever. I could set the camera up on a tripod at the end of the tent. No one has to see my phone by my side.
That's correct.
Where I've set it up. So, and you get what you don't get with the flip-up screen necessarily. I mean, yes, you get control of all the details, but you can do that on the app as well.
Absolutely, and you can actually be taking control of the zoom as well. And once you've taken the photo or the video, it will then allow you to pair it to your phone and upload it to your social media, so your Facebook,
it's
Twitter,
Instagram.
It's
such an exciting development.
Absolutely, and it's just allowing you to share on the spot.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, it's a large range, you know, it's working up to about 100 foot.
Yeah.
It has NFC capabilities, so the pairing is so easy at the end of the day. You can just bang your Android device against the TZ70 and you're automatically paired.
Amazing.
And you can be actually geotagging at the same time. So using your mobile phone device, you'll be able to geotag it and remember where you took all those fantastic shots.
That for me is also, you know, I'll maybe go to sort of like scout a location, right? And a year down the line, I'm thinking, oh, well, that was roughly in that area. I was like, where on earth was that wonderful tree that would make a wonderful backdrop or whatever, framing or whatever? And you'll never find it exactly unless you make the notes. But to have, it's the same way that if you want to know about a shot you did, people often forget to look at all the data that's embedded.
That's right, yeah.
It's just the next step on that. And to share the stuff from out in the field, that's what it's about.
Yeah, and this is what the camera's allowing you to do. I mean, you're going to get great still photos from it, but it's also going to give you the capability of full HD photos. But with the Wi-Fi, it's really allowing you, just like yourself with the selfies, being able to, you know, film yourself, take photos of yourself in these great locations if you're on your own. But don't forget, you've also got nature photography. So, for instance, you may be able to put this in a bird nest or actually out in the wildlife where you can't disturb the wildlife and you'll be able to leave it there, stay in the warmth and the dry as well, which is great news, and also be able to start taking the shots automatically. Yeah. Or even sports. There's certain times that you're not allowed near the sports action.
Yeah.
So you could actually set it up on a tripod, be back in the safe zone, and be able to take the shots automatically.
Yeah.
And of course, if someone does pick up the camera, you're going to see it automatically on your smartphone and you'll know what's going on.
And actually, also working with clients, they can stand behind you or off to one side and see what's happening. Now, just to that end, and this is something I've only just thought about, can you pair up multiple devices for the sake of preview? So if a client wanted to look on, an iPad or a tablet, and you also wanted to control it from the app on your phone, can you do that, or is that a bit too...
Yeah, we're allowing only one device to be, because it's a direct peer-to-peer.
Right.
But of course, if you're on a Wi-Fi zone...
Yeah.
The great thing is, even when you get back off your holidays, you may have actually still be using your same SD card that from your previous travel.
Yeah.
The camera will automatically, and you can actually tell it where you want to save it, and it will automatically back up all your new photos. So you're not replicating your old photos again into more folders and thinking, hang on, I'm taking up more storage on my PC.
Wow.
And because it's now USB charge rather than docking stations, it makes it so much easier when you're traveling around the world to be able to actually charge a camera.
See, now there's a lot of people that follow what I do. They love hiking, they love camping, they love travel, all the rest of it. Let's think about the specifics of this camera, and we'll concentrate. We might touch on 4K video a little bit later, because I know a lot of people are starting to get interested in that.
Yep.
But this, you know, you alluded to the fact that it's a Leica lens. Leica, synonymous with sharp images, quality, all the rest of it.
That's correct. We was expecting that.
It's that time of day. I mean, I've just caught up with you, and it was bound to happen.
Yeah,
you know?
It has been a very, very busy day, and it's been just an ideal time to now catch you, because people are starting to come and ask those final questions and everything.
Yeah.
And they've been thinking about purchasing and so on and so forth. So this is now their sort of crunch time.
Yeah, it's now or never.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But you're absolutely right that it's giving you the full control at the end of the day.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you mentioned 4K video, but with a TZ, you're also going to have high-speed video as well.
Mm.
You can do 100 frames per second in HD.
Yeah.
Or actually, you can drop down the resolution of VGA and have 200 frames per second. But even in 100 frames, you can actually extrapolate a 2-megapixel still, which is ideal for full HD TVs.
Yeah, but we were saying yesterday...
No, yeah. I just remembered that we were talking about Leica before that went off as well.
That's all right.
And of course, Leica, you know, they're older than Panasonic.
Yeah.
They're a German manufacturer. They make flat glass. So at the end of the day, you don't get the light reflections. And if you do, say, shots of buildings, you're not going to get those curved edges when you zoom in. It's perfectly straight. Yeah. And it's a beautiful partnership that we've had for many, many years now.
Yeah.
And we learn from each other. You may see Leica cameras that look very, very similar to our TZ70. But they've got their, you know, they keep some really, really great photography.
But again, just sort of talking about the quality issue there, and sort of 4K and the quality of the lens, you don't want to capture all that wonderful quality and then reduce it. Of course, we were talking about this yesterday. There are guys that are filming in 4K, but because the technology isn't so readily available yet to appreciate it, they're rendering it down to 1080.
That's correct, yeah.
And the quality at 1080 is still better than it would be at 1080. That makes sense,
It's because it's giving you more information. And don't forget, what we've been showing at the stand is 4K photo modes.
Yeah.
So we've got a number of, you know, we're one of the only, actually the only manufacturer with a 4K compact. There we go again. A 4K bridge camera. A 4K interchangeable lens camera as well, and even an action cam. So things like the British Winter Olympic team now use the Panasonic A500 4K action cam. But it does mean that you can still, as a stills photographer, you may be using a burst mode, but sometimes you miss the moment, especially in, say, Birds of Prey. You know, you're really wanting that ideal shot. If you film in 4K, that's going to give you 30 frames per second. So in 10 seconds worth of video, I'm going to get 300 shots.
Yeah.
And that will allow me to extract an 8.3 megapixel still. And I mean, you've seen some of the stuff on the stand.
Amazing.
You know, we've been blowing it up to A3.
Yeah.
And everyone's incredible. Just thought it's been absolutely incredible. So it's changing the mindset of photographers like we have been for the last 5 years. We're really pushing the boundaries at the moment.
And I think it's, you know, I wrote a piece, and of course I'll link to this in the show notes, guys. But I wrote a piece about people that have this opinion that, you know, oh well, it's the camera to have, isn't it? So why have you chosen it? Well, it's the one to have. That is completely the wrong reason for buying any bit of kit, whether it's a car, a camera, what have you. But you, of course, in your range have all sorts. You have the all-weather, drop-proof, dust-proof
point-and-shoot.
Now, I thought, oh, that's kind of interesting. I've used similar things. I'm outdoors a lot, what have you. But my theory is, I always take care of my DSLRs when I'm in the field. Why wouldn't I take care of my smaller compacts, you know?
Yeah.
And then you think, okay, well, then you've got all that extra functionality.
Yeah, and we also, I mean, we do provide our specification to great companies like underwaterhousing.com. Mm. So if you do ever end up wanting to go scuba diving, you don't have to buy another product. You can just buy the correct underwater housing for it. And with the TZ70, it's just giving you that versatility at the end of the day for great photography and 30 times optical zoom.
Yeah.
If we do reduce the megapixels, we can actually take the optical zoom even further as well.
Wow.
So it's an incredible piece of kit. And, you know, we understand that people want to learn more about their products, and not always the user manual is the easiest thing to be understanding.
Yeah.
So, you know, we utilise sort of YouTube. You know, we have our own Panasonic UK YouTube channel.
Okay.
And we have other, you know, you've seen the ambassadors on the stand. We've got professionals that use the kit and actually been approaching Panasonic.
Yeah.
And they will upload their content to Vimeo and teach people how to get the most out of their product. Because you may buy it for one or two reasons, and then understand, as we said, about all the other features that are built in.
Yeah.
You think if you go into the scene mode for families, you can actually, you've got the baby modes.
Mm.
So you can put the child's name in, and when they were born, every time you take a photo of them, it will tell you how old the little one was.
Wow.
Now, we have two baby modes. If you end up with a third kid, don't tell the third child, but you'll have to put them down as the pet. But we've created these to make it easy for a customer. So you don't have to be changing all the settings. So things like the through glass modes, the HDR sunset modes, the night starry sky modes, all these are built in and set up to make it really quick and easy.
Well, there was something that I found particularly interesting, is not because of what it initially does, but because of the back end of it and the functionality, is the fact that you showed me a picture where you just took a grab shot of someone on the stand.
That's correct, yep.
And you said, right, what we'll do, we're going to select, say, his red T-shirt, and so everything that's red like that is going to stay out, the rest is going to go black and white. But the impressive thing was, it's not overriding the file. You can go back in and select any other colour and pick that out instead. You can bring all the colour back.
That's
It's the same way, as I understand it, as having the raw file when you're processing your images. You've always got that digital negative to go back to.
So you've got onboard editing, and I mean, it's great because you can use the creative mode straight away and start playing about and take these great photos. Or, as you said, you can actually take your photos all in full colour and start doing post-production afterwards, straight away. So as you said, things like the one-point colour, great for wedding photography. You think you can take the, everything in full colour, then you've got the colour version, and then you can start editing it with all the filters afterwards. And that means that you'll be able to select the colour of the bouquet of flowers, make the bride and groom black and white, and then you've got both the original and the creative afterwards.
And see, that's the interesting thing. I with any product or any feature, I always think, okay, how does this relate to me? How would I use it? Now, I'm not a big fan of selective colouring, like in post-production. Mm-hmm. However, if I was using the camera, as would be my plan for behind the scenes and recording my adventures, if I was thinking, do you know what, I need a picture of this product in situ, say it was a lens, I could select the lens and isolate it from the rest of the picture, and that is a perfect way, like a product shot, where you grey out the rest of the details in the shot to focus the attention on that product. That would save me so much time in post-production.
You've got the crop in, you've got the resize, and you've got everything built into the camera. You've got your time-lapse, and you've got stop-motion on there as well. So we understand there's a lot of people wanting to have some fun, you know, with stop-motion and time-lapse
as well.
And for
behind the scenes, I do time-lapse stuff sometimes. But for me, the one thing that I don't think is on there, which is a bit of a... she does go on a bit, doesn't she? The one thing that, for me, I don't think is on these, and I don't know of any manufacturer that does that, is I would like to be able to upload my logo as a transparent layer into the camera and then drop it in. You're going to tell me that it is possible, and I think that would be amazing, but I'm not sure.
No, I'm not 100% sure myself about the logo and what have you. So that's, I mean, but the great thing about Panasonic is that people think of us as a global company, and with global companies, they think it could be quite hard to approach them and suggest ideas. And we're actually completely opposite. As you've seen here today, over the past couple of days, we've actually got the Japanese engineers here talking to customers, talking to journalists. And as I say, the ambassadors have been key because they're the pros. They've been using it in a pro light. And it, as you say, about GH4, we've actually got a gentleman on stand, Nick Driftwood, who actually hacked the GH2. And it went global, absolutely global. And so we actually, he approached Panasonic and said, this is why I've done it, and so on and so forth. So we introduced him to Japanese engineers. And, you know, all these ideas that you guys have are now being put on future products. We don't just make a feature because we think it's going to be the next great thing. We want to talk to you guys, and we want to make a product that's right for you.
And that's the mark of a great company. Those that are prepared to listen, and you might think, hang on, why are you saying that? But when you actually talk through it, you think, you know, that's, if enough people tell us that, it must be a real thing. It must be a demand.
Yeah.
You know?
So, like, I mean, a lot of people would think that dropping the megapixels would actually be backwards.
Yeah.
But we wanted to, you know, the feedback that we got is that we wanted better low-light performance. So by dropping the megapixels, I mean, that will still allow you to print A3, no problems.
So just thinking about file size, if I was to shoot a picture and I wanted to share it to, say, Facebook, is it a dual slot memory card slot, or is it a single one? Can you save in RAW and JPEG and upload the JPEG and keep the RAW?
Correct. So on the camera, I mean, on your smartphone, you'll see both. But of course, for file size, you're going to want to upload the JPEG. But then when you get back and you wanted to, say, print it, you've still got the RAW photo.
So it only saves it as RAW, but it converts it immediately to upload the JPEG version.
That's correct. Yeah,
it's brilliant.
And you think you can actually set it up so there's four different corners that you've got on the playback mode. And we understand that everyone uses different social media, so it may be Facebook, it may be Instagram, it may be Picasa, or it just may be emailing it to your colleagues. And you can set it up so it's very, very simple, just to literally push and hold the photo that you need and upload it to any of these four places.
And actually, as a backup system, if you thought that is a prize winner, I mustn't lose it, or my, if I drop my camera down a, you know, a
well, yeah,
cliff,
I mean, it's
something.
No difference if you're in the, let's say you're in the Amazon rainforest. And
I do that every Sunday, you know.
It's great fun. It's great fun. But you may only have had the one SD card on you, but you could have had a really, really good trip and taken, you know, a couple of thousand photos and start realising that halfway through your trip you're running out of room. And, of course, it's not going to be a camera shop local. So what you'll actually be able to do is transfer everything from your camera directly onto your smart device and then wipe the card and start all over again without losing anything. And then when you get home, you'll be able to upload it from your smartphone and from the camera. And you've kept everything nice and simple.
Well, do you know, I was just having a conversation before I came over to speak to you. And we were talking about, are we in a position now with the technology within the photography industry whereby if you go back to, say, the early 1900s, photography had been established a bit. It was, you know, But then there was this sudden wave of the technology of the time developing. Are we at that point again where we've got used to digital, but all of a sudden there's fresh, like, enthusiasm for it?
Yeah, I mean, there's so many different things that everyone's after in the photography and videography world. And, I mean, we actually had a presentation going on earlier in the Filmmaker Theatre where we had Shu Hastings, champion still photography, and then we had Nick Driftwood, champion videography.
Yeah.
But the amazing thing is they both use the same product.
Yeah.
Back in the, you know, even if 10 or 20 years ago, they would have had completely different products. Yeah. But now you're getting excellent video and excellent stills from one singular product nowadays, which just makes carrying equipment and everything else. I mean, as you've seen, a lot of the guys now moving on to much, much smaller formats.
Yeah.
Means less shoulder surgeries and back surgeries as well.
Well, it's a bit like even at this show. I mean, I turn up every day. I've got my MacBook Pro.
Yep.
And at the moment, because I don't have a point and shoot, hint, hint,
yep.
I have my, you know, DSLR. It's nice and compact, what have you. But next year, it's my goal to think, do you know what? Tablet, point and shoot.
Yeah.
And, you know, that can fit in my back pocket almost.
Well, as you saw, even on the interchangeable lens size, our G-series, I mean, we've got the big GH4, which, you know, Sky and Hollywood and everyone else use, which is fantastic for videography and stills. Mm. But then we've got street photographers that still want to take excellent photos but don't want to be noticed.
It's the Cartier-Bresson approach, you know, pivoting on your foot, taking the shot. People haven't realised it's taken as you walk away.
Yeah, and of course, where there's no shutter box noise, you can actually keep it completely silent. Mm. So once again, for sort of street photography, for nature photography, or even sports events where they can't allow you to have the shutter box noise going off. And with the little GM series, I mean, it's pocketable.
Yeah.
You can actually put an interchangeable lens camera in your pocket, which street photographers love because they hate it when they miss that moment.
Yeah.
If they miss that shot, they're going to really be upset with themselves.
Yeah.
So they can actually keep this in their pocket, and this will be able to actually be used in the professional world.
So have you also got the option to turn on the shutter noise?
Oh, yes. The shutter noise is turned on. So we give you sort of a shutter noise to make you feel that you're still taking your photographs in a nice traditional way. But there are certain, like we said about nature photography, if I had it in the Nest and the shutter box noise was going off, I'm going to scare them all away.
So, and also, is there the option with the viewfinder? We've already said that, you know, it's that the sensor, it's electronic, like projection, I guess.
Yeah, the great thing about having an electronic viewfinder is you're seeing what the photograph will look like.
But do you have that so you can turn that off so it's just optical as well?
No, or it's just a pure electronic viewfinder on all the Panasonic systems.
Yeah.
It's for the Solfet. When you're changing shutter, ISO, aperture, you've got all your information on your viewfinder as well. And I see a lot of the DSLR users with great kit. They take a photograph and then they have to put the camera down to review it on the back of the screen. Yeah. It's not, you're getting that in the viewfinder.
So were you, yesterday, didn't you mention that because Panasonic's heritage with TVs, it's directly drawn down from that to give you the projection technology for that.
So, like with GH4, we've actually got the latest TV technology on there, which is OLED. So that's organic living cells that we're now passing electricity through. Just like algae on a lake, the way it reflects with the moonlight and actually glows green. We can now create, and these TVs are actually going to be coming onto the market in the next year or two.
Wow.
We're already putting them on our cameras.
Yeah.
And that means that you're getting much better colour reproduction, much better black levels, much better lifespans, and actually making it much thinner as well.
So I'm going to kind of like round things off a bit with a question that I asked someone else in a previous conversation. It's all very exciting.
Yes.
It's all cutting edge. But this time next year,
what
are we... I'm not necessarily asking for an inside scoop or anything, but generally speaking, where is it going? What are we going to see this time next year?
I really do believe that the stills and video world is coming together. And as mentioned, with 4K photography, it's changing mindsets again. You know, moving from traditional optical viewfinders to electronic viewfinders. Having touch screens now, allowing you to focus up to the edge of the field of view. And we're just, all we want to do every single year is improve our products, making them faster focusing, improving the wireless technology as well. And, you know, any suggestions that people have got in a real life scenario, please let us know, because we'd be more than happy to look at future products and start putting these on.
Yeah.
And it really does mean, I mean, you've been very lucky at the show that you've actually seen the CM1.
Yeah.
And the CM1 is a Leica smart device, so it's actually got a Leica lens with a 1-inch MOS 20 megapixel sensor, but has the added benefit of Android and a smartphone.
Yeah.
And as you've seen with the 4K photo modes that we've been doing, we've had the British Olympian team on the... So we've had the boxing, we've had taekwondo, we've had fencing.
Yeah.
Everyone taking 4K video and extrapolating those 8.3 megapixel stills from something as small as this.
It's crazy, isn't
so,
it?
So, yeah, I mean, the future... We've always been a little bit... You know, everyone was starting to take a lot of photos on their smartphones, and you wouldn't do a wedding photography on it. But... what we're creating here with the CM1 is just revolutionary.
Yeah. And that's actually something I was thinking recently is, unless I'm in very good light, my iPhone camera doesn't cut it.
No.
It just doesn't.
But, you know, a 1-inch, 20 megapixel MOS sensor inside something that looks like a mobile phone, with all the features that we're giving you, and the screen, and the optical zoom, it's just going to allow you to keep it in your pocket and still take those fantastic photos that you can keep for later on.
That's awesome. Well, I appreciate your time. It's been really...
it's been an absolute pleasure.
It has been really nice to talk to us, because it is a genuinely exciting time, I think, and a genuinely exciting product to think about all that technology in one package.
That's it.
Now, of course, people are going to jump at the chance to find out more. So where should they look?
So the best place to really look is panasonic.co.uk. Mm-hmm. That will give you everything that you need to know, from spec to reviews to seeing the product. And actually, we're running courses throughout the UK where you can come and, without actually having to purchase a product, get hands-on with it and see how you like, and see whether or not you there's a product that fits your lifestyle.
Excellent. Well, of course, I'll put in the show notes, I'll be linking to all of that. I gather that if I speak to you nicely, I'll be able to get hold of one of these too.
I'm sure there's something we'll
paces.
Be able to help you out
Lovely.
With. So you can go and have a play about with it. Let us awesome. Know what you feel. And as I said, please give us the feedback, because if there's something that you would like on a future product, we can never say never. And awesome. We're always happy to help.
Lovely. It's been a real pleasure talking to you. And
thank
I appreciate
it,
especially this end of the day. It's been
That's
a
it.
Long day for you, Adam.
Yep.
So I'm going to thank you again. We're going to leave it there. And yeah, enjoy your evening.
Excellent. Thank you very much for your time.
Cheers.
Take care.
I know you all like hearing these exclusive live recordings each year, so be sure to take a look at the website for the Photography Show Extra content, which will be live in a couple of days. You can check out all the show notes to this and other week's shows at theactivephotographer.com. If you'd like to get in touch directly, don't forget, I'm on Twitter, at Giles Babbage. There's the Facebook page, facebook.com/theactivephotographer. Or, of course, send me a good old-fashioned email, giles@theactivephotographer.com. So thanks for listening, everyone. Take care, have a great week, and I will speak to you all very soon.